and Dr. Reed, who follows me, are going to be talking about the same project that we're awaiting a rail trail conversion in an urban area. And I'm going to be talking about the demographic features of the trail users that we have noticed versus the demographic features of the residents living in nearby census tracts. And I do want to recognize our colleagues at Furman University, Dr. Reed and his student, who have been assisting and been major partners, as well as our funder, the Mary Black Foundation, which is a foundation that funds many different kinds of active living projects in Spartanburg County of South Carolina. You know, there's been a lot of research, particularly in the last 5 to 7 years, with respect to a number of issues of environmental features. This is a summary of such research, and that research suggests that there's more walking if sidewalks and paths are present, if there are short blocks and more frequent intersections than that traditional grid pattern or network of streets, and if there's a good access, a convenient access to trails, and I highlighted that because that's what we're focusing on in our project, parks, greenways, and public transit. But the caveat is just because these things are present and they're available doesn't mean they're going to be used. That's why we're interested in doing more work in this area. Just a little bit of background. In 2002, the Mary Black Foundation in Spartanburg, South Carolina, they identified active living as one of its two grant-making priorities. To me, this is a major step forward with respect to grant-making by such groups. Molly Metz from that, our program officer, is actually here today. And she's been very key in moving this forward. And in just the last 5 years or so, they've allocated $5 million within this initiative, just in this one county, around a number of different types of active living projects, including those that involve the food environment. One of the substantial investments that they made was to support the conversion of a two-mile rail trail segment. And what interested me about this opportunity is that this segment can serve as a key connector between the downtown business district and more rural parts of the county. Also, what was very, very interesting was it dissects two adjacent residential neighborhoods differing in income, education, and race profiles. So historically, you had this rail line that was basically a physical barrier between these two neighborhoods that were segregated by this feature, and now that has been removed, in essence, at least environmentally, if you will, but as far as perception and those kind of things, that remains to be seen. I'm going to give you a few before and after pictures of the trail. This is the trail head, actually, at one part of this two-mile segment. You can see that the gravel's been laid, and that's what it looked like at one time. Now they have some very nice signage and places to sit. It's been beautified, as you can see, in a number of ways. And actually, the cost of this was a little over $1 million, I believe, right, Molly? It's like $1.2 million or something. So it was a substantial investment on the behalf of Mary Black, as well as other folks who invested in this. I love these pictures here. This is looking from that trailhead down the rail corridor at one time, and that's what it looks like now. This was interesting to me because you can see that where the rail bed is, and prior to the full construction, if you will, of the segment, a developer built 5 townhomes that run right up next to this amenity, if you will. I thought they made a good marketing choice, and this is what it looks like today. And you can see there behind the bushes are those townhomes. Very beautiful. You can see the different contour of the part of the segment that goes across the road to notify motorists that there might be other travelers to be aware of. This is just another place along there before and after. Look at that beautiful corridor of tree-lined trail, which obviously that provides shade and other just a very aesthetically pleasing portion to use. This is an aerial view. You've got in the blue is the two-mile segment. At the upper left is that trailhead that we looked at, and if you were to go further to the left, if you will, you'd run go into downtown Spartanburg. The trail runs down left to right. It gets a little bit of a light industrial segment down near the lower segment of that 2 miles. But these are the two census tracts that we're monitoring or comparing to. In the lower portion is tract 211 there. The median income is around 31,000. The percent below poverty level is about 16%. And then in tract 212, the median income is about 16,000 more a year, 47,000, and the percent less than poverty levels, 3.5 to 4% only. And not only do they vary by these characteristics, but they also vary by race, as you'll see here as we go forward. There's a large park, Duncan Park, there, that large green area, and there's a number of ways to access the segment from these neighborhoods. We received a 5-year grant from the Mary Black Foundation to evaluate the impact of this segment in a number of ways. Obviously, we're going to look at the overall use of the segment. We're going to look at the use of the segment by residents of nearby neighborhoods. And we also want to look at the impact of the segment on income of nearby retail businesses. There are many along this segment. See if it makes any difference there. We're going to monitor changes in zoning and use of the commercial properties adjacent to the rail trail, and also in changing values of residential properties in the nearby neighborhoods. And then finally, we want to make recommendations based on our results and feed them back to the community with respect to potential policies or programs to increase the use of this segment. Today, Dr. Reed and I will be focusing on those three components that are underlined here. We won't be talking about the others. We're about a year and a half into the 5-year process. So these are our baseline data, if you will, up to this point in time. We're using SO Park to do the direct observations of the trail users. Dr. Reed's more the expert in this than I am, so he can answer questions about this if we have them. But this was developed at San Diego State by Tom McKenzie, and it's been published. So it's a valid and reliable tool to gather data on a number of different components in a number of different settings. Some people use it to monitor activities in parks, but you can also use it to monitor activity along trails. So we look at the user demographics, the traditional age, sex, and race. But the tool also has you document various environmental features, various user features, like what's the person doing, are they alone or with others. And also you can do a quick characterization of the physical activity level. They might just be sitting on one of those benches, so they're classified as sedentary. We specifically document walking, and then this category very active, for instance, that are jogging, rollerblading, bicycling, etc. The beauty of this is you can train students who are sharp to go out and do these observations. And we have a free bevy of students from Furman University who Dr. Reed trains, very systematically trains them, by the way, and I'll let him tell you about that. There is a process to do this so that they know what they're doing once they get out there along the segment. Dr. Reed himself has been out there to do some of these observations. Unfortunately, the segment's about an hour and a half from where I work and live, so I go up there quarterly just to check things out, take pictures, and mingle with the community folks. Dr. Reed and his students are out there doing all the hands-on work, so it's a great partnership for me. But they go out there, they do quarterly observations 4 times a day for 7 consecutive days. So you can see the times specifically that they start observations, and what they'll do during that time is there are 6 different access points that we've identified along the segment. They spend about 10 or so minutes at each of these access points starting at these times, and they move along the segments. And sometimes we also have them going out to the parks within a quarter mile radius of the segment to do observations, and they come back and start again. So how many miles a day do they walk approximately? Yeah. Maybe there's a couple students out there working together. 28 miles a day for 7 days? That's a lot. See, we promote physical activity in our studies. Keep her in shape. Yeah. This last summer was very hot and humid, too, and you'll see that it's reflected in our data, by the way. And as I said, we document air temperature and weather conditions, like is it sunny, rainy, cloudy, things like that. They actually have a thermometer, so they actually capture the temperature in a valid way. So we have had 16 months of observations. from May 06 to this past summer, we've observed over 25 people along the segment. And there's a way to make notes and documents so you're not counting people twice or three times, you know, on a given day or time. And then, you know, we'd average it out about, that's about 60 a day, and that might be about 22,000 users a year. That's quite a few for this 2 mile segment. Most people were walking. 41% were classified as very active. 2% were sedentary at the time they were observed. Vast majority of the people along the segment so far have been adults. Slightly more men than women. About three quarters of the sample was classified as white and 28% non-white. Now, by the way, these data are very similar to what was found in a study that was presented this morning in the three trails, urban trails that were looked at. So I was glad to hear that we have some commonalities that are starting to come out on trail users. This is the age characteristics of the female users across these quarterly periods. So you got spring 06, summer 06, on through summer 07. You can see summer 07, we had very few users. We were out there in August, and we had a blistering, hot, humid August this year. And you can see the summer 06, which is the second set of bars from last year, it was much more mild, and we had many more users. So, and Dr. Reed's going to talk a little bit more about this. But at any given observational period, again, the vast majority of the females were adults. The older adults are in the orange, so they are the second most commonly observed group, if you will, and very few children and teens were observed. And for the men, you see the very same kind of trends. Mostly adults at any given time frame, older adults were the second most observed group, and then very few children and teens as far as boys. This is the age characteristics of the users, and now compared to the residents, the age breakdowns of the residents of the adjacent census tract. So we went in and got the Census 2000 data and pulled it for our comparisons. The trail users are in green. Track 211, which is the lower income, and track 212, which is the upper income track, if you will. I think it's what I want to point out here is that to the far right, the older adults, the age characteristics that we've seen were matched fairly well with the demographics of both census tracts. But you see differences with the adults and the children and teens. Where we saw more adults using the trail than would represent the census data. And then we saw many fewer children and teens on the trail versus what the demographics show from those living in the nearby neighborhood. So there's potentially some work here to reach out to these these groups aren't utilizing the segment as often as far as age is concerned. Now we'll look at gender of the users versus the residents. And on the left are females, on the right are males. Again, in green are the trail users, and then the other two bars are the census tracts. So what's apparent here is that there are more females living in the census tracts than we would than is indicated by the users, if you will. And there are less men living in the census tract, but we see more men using the trail. So these aren't quite in agreement with one another, if you will. The characteristics of the users aren't necessarily mirroring the characteristics of those living in the nearby neighborhoods. Did I go forward or not? Yeah, this is race. Okay, so race. The students are trained to quickly identify race, and basically the easiest way to do it is to characterize them as white or non-white. But to be honest with you, most of the non-whites are African-American in South Carolina and in this area. So we could say African-American, but we don't do that just because we don't classify as specific as that as far as the non-white category goes. The percent white, basically the bottom line here is that the trail users, their characteristics as far as race is concerned is mirroring more those demographics of track 212, which is the tends to be the higher income track with higher rates of white residents. So again, there's potential room here to perhaps develop some strategies to market the use of the trail to the Track 211 folks who live nearby but aren't using it perhaps as much as they could. So in conclusion, I'll repeat a little bit of what I just said there with those results. Males use the rail trail segment more often than females. Whites use this segment more often than non-whites. We saw very few children, adolescents, especially compared to the age distribution in nearby census tracts. The sex of the users varied from the demographics of the residents living nearby. And the race of the users varied most from the demographics of the residents in nearby census tract with higher proportion of African Americans. We gave a presentation of these data recently to community leaders in Spartanburg, as well as then another presentation the same day to the Board of Trustees of the Mary Black Foundation. We want to keep them up to date what's going on. They want to see if their investment's working. But we want to give them information on how to improve the use of this trail, how to enhance it for all folks in the community. So we recommended that they might want to consider implementing policies, environmental improvements, and or programs to promote greater use, particularly among non-whites, younger and older populations, and particularly in persons living in nearby neighborhoods. And let me just say right now is that we do intercept surveys with a subsample of the users. About 10% of folks actually captured with about a 10-minute brief survey, and we ask them, you know, where they came from, how long it took them to get there, what they like about the trail, what do they use it for. It helps us confirm some of our direct observational data in a number of ways, but it also gives us an indication of where they're coming from. We ask for the nearest intersection to their residence. We haven't done this, but we will shortly. We'll geocode where those are and see where they're coming from and what distance they're coming from, and also see how that sort of relates to the whether they're coming from those nearby neighborhoods or some other portion of the county. What we do know is that they primarily 80 to 90% come by car. They come from home, and they drive less than 15 minutes to get there. So we know that, but we want to match that with this this geocoding data to confirm those things. We recommend that maybe some formative research might take place within the community, and a number of folks have talked about this in other presentations here, whether it's surveys through the mail or focus groups or interviews with both residents and programmers, if you will, policymakers, but to come up with some opportunities to develop some tailored marketing or program strategies to promote the use of this segment. Again, it's relatively new. People found out about this mostly by word of mouth or the newspaper, which is interesting, or just simply by driving by and noticing a sign, or actually there's some pavement there now where there was a kudzu growing all over the place. So we recommend that there's some additional research done, and this morning I got some great ideas on how we can expand our evaluation from some of the folks that spoke this morning, so I'd like to consider some of those approaches too. Well, our next steps over the next 3 years, we're going to continue to monitor implementation of any new policies or programs that come into play, and then see if there's a spike, an increase, enhancement of use, and monitor any physical or environmental improvements to the segment and surrounding areas. Again, we're going to be taking a look at the various properties that are undeveloped, see if someone takes it upon themselves to develop the property. There's a great piece of property with a connector to the trail that they're thinking about making into a children's play area, so that might bring more children and families to use the facility. We're going to continue our observations, direct observations, and intercept surveys. And again, we're going to be gathering these data on property uses and values, both commercial property and residential property values, and the retail business data, these areas are out of my traditional training, so we rely on other folks to help us determine the databases that are needed to get this information. Thank you. I have no idea if I have time for questions or not. But if there's one or two quick comments or questions, or I'll just turn over to Dr. Reed to sort of give you the other half. Yes. They're counted as, if they're on the trail at the time we're doing an observation, at a certain point they're a user. Yeah. Julie, you want to talk about that? The other thing that was an interesting piece of information on the intercept surveys is that they were most often using the segment 1 to 3 times a week. And we have weekday and weekend data we haven't even looked at yet as far as the observations. But on the intercept surveys, is once they access the trail, the majority of them are on there for more than 45 minutes or longer, which is quite interesting to me. Many people will actually bike up and down that 2-mile segment 3 or 4 times. It's beautiful, it's paved, it's good for multi-use, and there's some, you know, good areas to park nearby to access it, and so once they're there, they're using it for about 45 minutes or more. Okay, right here. Okay. Yeah, that's one piece of information I'd like to get. We don't have any information on overall physical activity or anything like that, but that's something that we've talked about recently as we can add on as we move forward and get additional resources. So, yeah, that would be a great thing to understand. In the back. Ta-da.
Well, I can talk a little about that in the next presentation, but what we do on the coding form that was developed by Dr. McKenzie is a spreadsheet. Basically, on the left-hand side, we have additional columns where my students and myself, we write down as much as we can on each person that we are observing, and then at the end, we make sure we have counted any of them twice. So there is in our column, we have a descriptor based on
it's not foolproof, but we're doing the best we can. Okay, one more and then we'll move forward. Well, it actually, I don't have the picture of this very ugly intersection that trailhead runs into, and it's two what I call very wide boulevards, four-lane roads, which cars can reach up to 55 to 60 miles an hour speeds. And on a map, there is the trail actually goes into downtown, but there's no tangible physical trail from that trailhead to go into downtown right now. I think that's a safe way to characterize it. It's on a map, and when we did this community forum recently, there were several discussions on how to more tangibly make that connection to downtown. Because it has an very few people are using this for transportation-related purposes. I think 2% of our people that we did with the survey indicated that it was used for transportation. It's primarily for recreation. So there's an opportunity to perhaps do that, but there's some improvements that have to be made. Okay, thanks a lot very, very much. We're going to turn it over to Dr. Reed. He's going to talk a little bit more about this project. He might repeat a few things, but that's okay as far as methods. And then he's going to take a little bit a look at some other data that we've been collecting.